And I've got Megan Krakauer from the National Suicide Prevention and Trauma Recovery Project on the line, along with Mervyn Eads, and they're talking about a protest outside the Banksia Hill Detention Centre today. Good morning, Megan and Mervyn. Welcome to Noongar Radio.
Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? What's going on there?
We're going to Banksia Hill to do a rally this morning in regards to the way our children are being, not looked after there, and severe long lockdowns, and some of the treatment of our children, which we call inhumane, not right at all. Children being locked down for excessive periods in Arding, which is called down the back punishment. Just the treatment overall of our children. It's got to stop. We've called a class action in West Australia against the juvenile detention centres for this very reason. And there's kids out there trying to self-harm and, just not being treated right in an environment, in a place where they're meant to be looked after. No matter what they've done, they've still got to be looked after, and they are children.
Yeah, they are children. Yeah. And the laws regarding locking children up are pretty harrowing stories that we hear from inside these detention centres. You're expecting quite a few people there today at that protest. It starts at 10 a.m, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're actually hoping that that quite a few people come along. Since 1997, we've had 10,000 children at least that's come through Banksia Hill. Some of the kids are being subjected to some of the most horrific abuse. Kids being locked down, as Mervyn said. I spoke to a parent last night. Their child had been locked down for 5 hours, came out for an hour, went back in and got locked down for another 5 hours. And yesterday, apparently the young girls, they didn't even have breakfast and they didn't get any access to any psychological services. Now, that's having a profound and draconian impact on their mental state of mind. And this is, we're calling it out for what it is. It's child abuse.
Yeah.
It's child abuse in every single sense. So we're hoping that many people come along today to support what's going on at Banksia Hill and very much to stand up for our kids.
Right.
Black, white and brown.
So people getting involved in that protest today, how do they get really involved in the protest movement itself?
Well, all they need to do is just come along down to Banksia Hill, probably about 5 to 10. We're having a press conference down at Banksia Hill about 10 o'clock. And there's a number of speakers, including my colleague Jerry Georgiadis. Now, Jerry is a profound individual. He's the one that brought about this class action, where we are suing the state of Western Australia. We've involved the lawyers, Stuart Levitt, and he's the one that spearheaded the action over in Palm Island, where $30 million was awarded to the people of Palm Island as a result of Mr. Doomadgee, who passed away. So this class action, Jerry and I, we've been pretty much right across the state, spent 10 days up in Broome and up in the Kimberley collecting testimonies. But some of those testimonies are absolutely harrowing, to the point where it's about deprivation, children getting slammed to the ground, children not being able to write letters to other services to say, hang on, this is the type of abuse that's happening to me, and those letters being ripped up right in front of their faces are one of the claims.
Wow. Okay. So the other thing that I've noticed is that half of these children, or according to the reports, half of these children are in actually the care of social services. So what's going on there?
40% of the children there are in child protection care, social services, Department of Community Child Protection. It is disgraceful because they're not being cared to. Some children are locked up because they haven't got placements to go to, and these kids are the ones in care, in the care of the state. Then they get locked up at the courts because they don't want to stay at where they're placed, because obviously there's something not right there and they're not being treated properly, even in the care places. So the kids run. A lot of our children run, trying to get back and connected to family and that.
Right.
And, you know, it's a broken system trying to fix broken children. And a lot of these children go on to adult incarceration after Banksy Hill. Right. I had a little brother spent a considerable amount of time in child protection care, more than half his life, and had done a lot of time in Banksy Hill and juvenile detention services, went into the adult incarceration space and committed suicide at 18 years old after coming. He was that traumatised and that damaged coming out of the juvenile space, Banksy Hill and Rangeview and the other places that they had set up here, which had closed down. Rangeview was the remand centre. My little brother spent a considerable amount of his baby young life in the juvenile space. And when he got into the adult space, the revolving door of the institutionalisation, moving on from Banksy to adult, he committed suicide in 2003. So this is the sort of trauma and, you know, trauma and that we're seeing from children that's coming out of these juvenile spaces into adult spaces, and a lot of them are taking their lives when they get into the adult space as well.
Okay, so this is a huge problem, obviously. So what sort of things do you want to see happen to make changes within the system and also within Child Protective Services? Like, what sort of changes would you actually like to see?
We need huge reforms. We need huge reforms within these juvenile spaces. And for our people and our community and our organisations in the community to have access and to talk to our children and deliver services to our children that's culturally appropriate. And, you know, a lot of these children are coming out of Banksy Hill, spending most of their young lives there. They're not even, their education is null and void, virtually. They're coming out and they can't even read and write.
So they're not actually getting an education while they're in these centres.
No. The education is very, very low and very poor. They're doing, whilst incarcerated as a child, surely the Department of Corrective Services and the government could get behind them and learn them how to read and write the basic necessities of life.
Yeah.
And see, I guess the thing too, brother, is that 100% of the young children out there, they suffer some form of trauma.
Yep. 100%. Yep.
Unaddressed. And some of this is unaddressed. Some of it's got to do with child sexual abuse. Some of it's got to do with stolen generation and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that there is mental health abuse. We do know that there's child abuse. And we do know that in terms of a lot of these young ones, a deprivation of their liberty. But if they're going to be deprived, they need to be supported. They need to have access to education and good education. They also need to have access to psychologists. Some of these kids are climbing on fences, jumping on roofs because they want to be heard. And in terms of de-escalating, by some of the officers out there, with what I've heard from some of the children, is that it is really quite brutal. And they're getting slammed to the ground, and their heads are being smashed on the ground. And then they're being taken up to intensive supervision. And that's hurting, and they're not getting that support. In terms of the food is very mediocre. And what I would like to see, and what many of us would like to see, and that's why Jerry's brought about this class action, because one, we do know that it's a poverty narrative in Western Australia. 60% of our brothers and sisters fall below the poverty line. But one would be for each and every single one that joins the class action, them to get some form of compensation. Secondly, which is absolutely important, is the systemic repair. So things like raising the age to 14. We've had one young little fellow between 10 and 16. He's been in there at least 35 times. Now, his circumstances are really quite dire. We have some young children that have FASD and other mental diagnosed issues, but they're still not getting the support, and that's a testimony that we've heard from many as well. But there needs to be that systemic repair. We want to see more Aboriginal people. A lot of our mob going in and supporting our youth. We also want to see if that place takes up 100 children, there should be 100 psychosocial support counsellors or people working with each and every single one. One person in, one person as a support person. That's how it goes, because right now you have a person who may be in down the back in Harding, and it can take at least a week to see a psychologist. Now, that's not the conditions that our children should be living in, and what we're trying to do is raise this awareness. Yes, Banksia Hill is there, but we need to abolish children prison because it's not having any profound impact. In fact, WA, we've got 1 in 12 Aboriginal men that are in prison today. We're basically the mother of all jailers. And the further west that we go, right across the country, the worse that it gets. And right now in Banksia, our kids need our help because they are crying out for help. They're crying out for that support, but they're being victimised and they're basically being in a prison which is interrogating their rights, removing their confidence and sending them out of the system worse than what they get in. Now, Jerry mentioned yesterday in an article that, and what Mervyn touched on, 40% of our children being in incarceration or in Banksia Hill, the 40% are getting given a double whammy. They're being failed by Department of Child Protection and they're being failed by Department of Corrective Services. So these kids, what hope have they got?
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty dire situation. Well, thanks for being on our radio with us this morning. I hope you guys actually get a lot of coverage in the press. I don't know how much you will get. I'd really hope it's in their face. That's what we need it to be.
Yeah, Mark, the grim reality of child prisons and child incarceration is, you know, we've got 80% of the adult prisons today, 80% of them have come through those very same child prisons.
Yeah.
So if it's not knocked on the head and, you know, addressed as a child, these young children end up being institutionalised. They go through the adult incarceration for more than half their lives.
Yeah.
in the adult space. So it is a revolving door that's spinning, particularly our people, our First Nations people. We've been incarcerated from the word go here in this country. And, you know, today, 2021, our children incarcerated at rates like this, you know, in the 60s, 70s, they were 50s, 60s and 70s, our children were incarcerated in missions,
yep,
taken to spaces and kept, and all sorts of abuses happened to them. So, but the abuses that we see in them in the stolen generation is continuing. It has not stopped,
no,
but they're doing it in different forms and, you know, in different legalised, Western legalised ways, breaking our children. Our children, and like Marty Megan touched on, a lot of these children come from families of the stolen generation. It's generational trauma just handed down and just kept going. And, you know, we need to call it out, but we need to stand up for our children.
Exactly.
If we can't stand up for our children, it is not good. Thanks. We need to.
Thanks very much, Mervyn. And thanks, Megan. Appreciate your time on being on Noongar Radio this morning.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys.
Thanks, Mark. You appreciate it.